Conversation is a great part of our life, isn't it? I suppose if we were to count up the number of conversations we had most days, for most of us, at least, there would be several, wouldn't there? With all sorts of different people, some good conversations, some not so good, some that we enjoy, some that are totally unenjoyable. But conversation is part of our life. And again, we read of the conversations that Jesus had with people when he was here on this earth. And it's a little while since I was here, but last time I was here, we talked about Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. And we remembered that Nicodemus was a very religious person, a very rich person, a very well-educated person who came to Jesus by night to talk about religion and who Jesus was. And Jesus cut straight to the chase and said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to start a new life. You need to put your trust in me so that you can know real life. Religion isn't the answer. Education isn't necessarily the answer. Certainly riches are not the answer. You need to be born again. And as we read through the scriptures, we read of so many different conversations that Jesus had with so many different kinds of people. Because he was willing to talk to everyone. You know, sometimes we can be a bit, well, I don't mind talking to them, but I don't want to talk to them. They're not my sort of people. You know, I don't mind talking to this group, but, well, I'm not going to go and talk to him over there. He's not like me. She's not like me. Maybe we're just a bit nervous sometimes, perhaps a bit scared, or perhaps sometimes we're just being not very nice because we don't want to talk to them. But Jesus spoke to all sorts of people. When you're going to read through the Gospels, he spoke to very clever people. He spoke to very religious people. He spoke to old people. He spoke to young people. He spoke to children. He spoke to grown-ups. He spoke to people that would be regarded as very important and people who were regarded as next to nothing. Why? Because we read that when Jesus saw the people, although he saw them as a crowd, he also saw them as individuals. And he had compassion on them. He loved them. And sometimes he went to people to talk to them. And other times people came to him to talk, like Nicodemus. Zacchaeus, who hid up the tree, who thought he'd gone to see Jesus, and then Jesus called him down. Matthew was just doing his work, as were Peter and Andrew, when Jesus came to them and called them. I'm going to read a well-known story this morning, but I hope that even probably though most of us would be able to tell this story backwards, not that that would be any use, that we will learn something new from it this morning. It's about the time when Jesus had a conversation with a most unlikely person, a person that no one else wanted to talk to. A person that in his culture he wasn't even supposed to talk to. We read from the Gospel of John and chapter 4. Now Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He said to her, go call your husband and come back. I haven't got a husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one who is speaking to you, I am he. This is the word of the Lord. So probably, as I said, most of us know that story very well. So what does this story tell us? Well, first of all, as I said just now, I believe that it tells us that Jesus cares about individuals. Yes, he sees a crowd, but he cares about each one. How often do you go into Cardiff or sit on a bus watching the crowd yesterday at the football? Some well-behaved, some unfortunately otherwise. We see crowds and crowds of people. We just see them on block, don't we? But Jesus cares about individuals. We always used to say that Jesus cares for you as if you were the only person in the world. That's an amazing thing to think of, isn't it? When you think how big and vast our world and our universe is. Jesus looks down at the billions of people on this earth and cares for them all. And cares for you as an individual. And so he goes through Samaria, whereas most Jewish people would have gone around it. The Samaritans were not regarded at all highly by the Jewish people, because they weren't Gentiles, but they weren't Jews either. They were a result of intermarrying between Jews and other people. And so they weren't quite pure breed. They didn't worship God in quite the same way. And so we don't have anything to do with them. We'll go round. But Jesus goes especially to this well in Sychar, in Samaria, to change one woman's life, at least to begin with. He goes to meet her. He speaks to acceptable people who come to him. He speaks to non-acceptable people who come to him. He speaks to sinners who try and hide up in trees. He speaks to good people who seek him out. He cares about this woman. And this story also tells us that people around us have great needs. He meets this lady. Well, What a life she'd had. What a life. She turns up to collect her water at 12 noon, the hottest time of the day, when she knows that nobody will be around. Because if she goes when all the other women are there, guess who's coming? It's her. You know the one. Five husbands? What do you think she did wrong? Dear me, what a failure she is. Five husbands. And you know, someone else living in the house now. That's what she would have got if she'd come any earlier or any later. She's a woman who is stigmatized. Wonder what names they called her. I can imagine, can't you? She's lonely. Even though she's had all these men friends, she's still lonely. No one else is bothering with her. She's failed. I mean, we're not told why she had five husbands. I mean, in those days, a husband could divorce a wife for next to nothing. If she burnt the toast, that was it. She was out the door. Had she been divorced five times because she had done something terribly wrong, or just because her five husbands had been very fussy? We don't know. Her life had been unfulfilled. Has she got a family? She's failed in just about everything that she's done. And she's got questions about religion and about spirituality. And she knows that she's got sin that has been unforgiven. Ring any bells? Ring any bells? Maybe you. Maybe somebody you know. Maybe somebody you meet. A person who is lonely. We're saying in the paper the other day that one of the things that leads to the death of older people is loneliness. Yeah? Loneliness. Failure. Stigma. You know about them. You know what they do. An unfulfilled life. Religious questions. Which religion should we follow? What about this? What about that? What's right? What's wrong? I've got this feeling that I'm doing things that aren't right. What can I do about it? We all meet people, or maybe we are even people, who have great needs. Even if they don't think so. We may meet people who think that they're all right. They're fine. They've got everything that they need. They've got a decent job and a decent amount of money, a nice family, and everything is fine. We know that they have a need. We may meet people and we think, oh, they haven't got any needs, they're fine. They've got everything. But they haven't got Jesus. They've got nothing. We all meet people who have great needs. Everyone needs to meet the Lord and accept what he offers. Acceptance, friendship, forgiveness, salvation, and hope. And we need to share that gift of God. As they're talking about all sorts of things, they talk about everlasting water, and they talk about wells, and they talk about husbands. And Jesus says, if only you knew the gift of God, you would ask him for it. Do you know what the gift of God is? Do you know what the gift of God is that he is offering to you and to everyone around us? We read in the New Testament that we should thank God for his indescribable gift. That's Jesus. We're told that the wages of our sin is death, separation from God. But The free gift of God is eternal life. What do you think we are offering you or other people today as we meet in this place? Are we offering a hobby? Oh, come along on Sundays and fill in an hour or so. A club. I know I used to go to one church and they used to come to women's meetings and go, I like coming to the club. Is it just a club in comparison to the Royal Legion up the road and the bingo club? We go there for an hour. That's what church is. Do people outside think that we're ignoring them? Judging them? We don't want people like that in here. Really? A few years ago in Tabs, we had a series of messages called No Perfect People Allowed. Just as well, isn't it? What do people think that we do here on a Sunday morning? What do people think that we want them to know? That God is out to get them? That we just all have fun together and don't think about them? Do people know that we are offering the greatest gift of all? How many people are enticed when they see something that says, free gift? I'm a bit of a sucker for a free gift. If you spend this much money, you can have this for nothing. I just love that. Even if I don't really need it, it's not that bad. But the other day I went into Mark's season and said, if you spend £40, you can have this for 10. That sounds like a good idea to me. Or if you buy this one, you can have this one free. Free gift. But when it comes to the free gift of salvation, how many people don't even know about it? And if they do, they ignore it. We are offering, or rather Jesus is offering, the greatest gift of all. What he describes as living water. Something that will quench our spiritual thirst, that will satisfy us, and will fill us up from the inside and flow out to others. We offer eternal life. Not just life that goes on and on and on forever. That's not God's life. Forgiveness of sins. Purpose in life. Fulfillment in life. Hope for now and forever. And Jesus himself. And this woman, she says, well, I know that Messiah is coming one day. And Jesus says, that's me. I'm here. And she doesn't wonder about it. She doesn't argue about it. She doesn't say, really. She goes back to the people in her town and they must have thought, goodness, look at her. She's running fast. What's she come to tell us? That she's found another bloke. And she tells them that the Messiah has come. And she brings them to find out about Jesus too. Are we challenged by the Lord's example? We've just been singing that Jesus is the center of it all. What are our priorities in life? Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Said that when he was 12 years old. He said, I have come to do your will. And in this same story, the disciples come back with some sandwiches or something, and Jesus says, I don't need that anymore. I'm satisfied. Because his food was to do the will of the one who sent him. And even when faced with agonizing death and separation from his Father, he says, not my will, but your will be done. Can we say the same? What's my priority today and tomorrow. To have fun, to make money. What? Or is it to do what God wants me to do? What is our passion? Jesus says, I delight to do your will. It's not, well, if I must do your will, then I suppose I will. It's, I delight to do your will. And he tells us that if we know we're forgiven, we will love. And that love will constrain us, will push us on towards serving God and loving one another. We love because God first loved us. What's your passion? Are you watching the football? I said, there's a lot of passion there, isn't there? Some of it's slightly misplaced. But you know, people standing there singing the national anthem, waving their arms, closing their eyes. I said, it looks a bit like church. Do we get as passionate about Jesus as people do about football? Much more important, you know. Despite what Bill Shankly said. What's your passion? What's your passion? What's your priority? What's my passion? What's my priority? Is it to do the will of Jesus? Is it to tell other people about Jesus? In the things that we do, as Jesus did. In the things that we say, as Jesus did. Because, you know, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to work for Jesus. We're told that we come to Christ, we receive our salvation through faith. We can't earn it, we can't pay for it, we can't do anything to get it. But we trust in Jesus. But when we have that faith, we're told that we're saved to do good works. And God, who began that work in us, will bring it to completion. We are fellow workers with God. God has chosen us to work with him and for him. We are ambassadors for Christ. You know, an ambassador, he goes to another country to represent his king or his president or his prime minister or his country. We belong to Jesus, the King, if we put our trust in him. We belong to heaven, but he's left us here as his representatives, as his ambassadors, as his fellow workers, so that others can come to know him too. It's a privilege to be used by God, isn't it? It's a privilege. So what's our passion? What's our priority? Are we aware of the privilege that we have in taking this message of salvation to those who need it? Let's remember, people have a great need. I think this lady knew that she had a need. Maybe you know this morning that you've got a need. You need to put your trust in Jesus. Maybe you know somebody, a friend, a neighbour, a family member, who has a need. They need to put their trust in Jesus. And even the people that you look at and think, oh, well, they've got everything. They haven't got Jesus. They haven't. And Jesus went out of his way to meet this lady so that she could come to know the Messiah. Know the one who had come to save her and change her life. And straight away, she started to witness. And we're told that later on, many people in the town believed as well. Let's remember, people have a great need, but we have a great Saviour and the privilege of offering the gift of life. Let's make sure that each one of us has put our trust in him and knows him as our Saviour. And then put him first. serve him wholeheartedly and work with him, meeting the people that he puts in our way for us to meet. Sometimes people will come to us. Other times, we just meet people, don't we? Doesn't mean we've got to rush in with the gospel straight away. Although, maybe. But we will meet people who need Jesus. My mother told me a story about a lady who was giving a testimony in a church the other week, and she said, I was on the bus, and she said, I met a young lady who just seemed very sad, and we started talking, and I started to tell her how she could become a Christian. And she said, I wanted it to be quiet and private as we were sitting on the bus. But she said, for some reason, I couldn't get my voice to go quiet. And she said, I know that everybody on the bus heard how to become a Christian. For some reason, God kept her voice loud so that everyone would hear. Another few weeks ago, I heard a story about one of the Salvation Army members in Penarth who had gone into a florist in Penarth and asked if she could please make a crown of thorns for Good Friday. How much will it cost? She said, £10. She went back on the Thursday before Good Friday to collect it. And there it was, this crown of thorns. And she said, how much was it again? £10? And the florist said, do you know, I can't charge you for that. Can't charge you for that. As I was making it, I kept pricking my fingers on it. And it made me think about Jesus and what he did. And this lady wasn't a Christian. There were other people in the shop. And so they started talking about the real meaning of Easter. God gives us opportunities to share with people who need him. And I'm going to sing a song that you will probably know. Maybe I've even sung it here before. But as I sing it, I don't particularly want you to think about the word that we have just brought into our minds and into your throne room. People who need you. Our neighbours, our families, our friends, our country. Lord, you see all the people of this world. And you love each and every one. We pray that you will give us compassion and care and wisdom, that when we meet people, we can point them to you. So again, we commit those that we have just prayed for into your hands and pray that you will send someone to help them find you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come.